Okay, so today, Be'ez Hashem, we'll move forward in some Kuvtzadi. We're up to Sif Dalad, and today we'll get into a little bit of the nitty-gritty, the area of halacha that's very, very important in terms of, I'm sorry, it said Sif Dalad, I mean Sif Hey, which deals with the size of a kesem. I'll take a couple shurim on that. Again, that's very much relevant halacha lemaisa. When you come to see a mari, you have to know what size the kesem, what size the stain is. So the point of departure is the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, source number one, where the Mishnah says, "With tola b'chol davar shi'chola lislos." We have a rule by a kesem that if there's something else to be tola, the blood spot, the stain on, so then that's okay. Then you can be tola b'chol davar shi'chola lislos. For example, shachta behema chayav of. A woman was involved in this. She was shachting an animal or shachting a chicken. I mean, not necessarily that she was doing the shchita. That's a different shaila with women can do shchita, not her issue now. But she was involved with an animal or birds and so on that became that there was blood. Or nisaska b'ksamim. She was sometimes you have a woman who brings shailas to the rav. And so it would be blood that she was dealing with something, whether halacha or other things. She was dealing with blood. Or she was sitting next to somebody. She was in the slaughterhouse when they were shechting the chicken and so on. She was there, okay. Or harga macholis. Macholis is a bug like louse, a single form of lice. You know, in your hair, you kill the bug. Harezu tolabo. All these things can result in a person seeing, the woman seeing a red stain. Okay, and therefore, the halacha is, since we don't know that this necessarily came from her body, but rather may have come from any one of these other possible things that the Mishnah gives examples of, so in tolabo, okay, so how the Gemara is ad kama tola, and we can be mitar the woman if she can be tola the stain on something else, but including a crushed bug, a crushed acholis, and a louse, but up until what size can we rely on this? So here, Rabbi Chanan ben Tikvas Omer ad kegris shelpul. Okay, kegris shelpul. It's a type of bean. Okay, it's a split bean, a certain size. So up until that size, you can assume it was the blood of an insect. It could be a mosquito or something like that. Sometimes you have a mosquito on your arm or on your clothes. You smack it and it makes a little blood spot. So up until the size of a kegris shelpul, okay, this type of split bean. So then you can assume that the blood came not from her, but from this insect. The afal pi shelo hargo says Rechim and Tignes, even though to her knowledge, anyway, she didn't kill any bug. Okay, in other words, until the size of a gris shall pull, the size of a bean, this type of bean, even if she didn't kill a bug. Okay, and then it says Vitola Bibno Babila. She also, if she has a little child that she was holding and he has a cut or something like that, or her husband has some kind of a wound or a cut, in all these cases, Imyeshbo Maka, right? Her children, her husband or her, one of her kids has some kind of a Maka, Yechola Ligla Lahotzi, Ligla Lahotzi Dam, and can moisten, you know, it can be a scab, but if you moisten it, if you rub it, it can produce blood, all these things, Harezu Tola. So that's the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches on Beis. Rashi says that when the Gemara asked, in source number two, Rashi says, when the Mishnah asked, Ad Kama He Tola, what is the size? So that's not talking about the earlier example. The earlier example is it could be a lot more blood than the size of a gris. Okay, you know, you have to be careful. When the Mishnah asked Ad Kama He Tola, that was talking about the Harga Macholis case. It wasn't going on every previous phrase of the Mishnah, right? You can be in a slaughterhouse and there's a lot more blood that splatters around in the slaughterhouse than just the size of a bean. Okay, when the Gemara Rashi is explaining, when the Mishnah asked Ad Kama Tola, that's the case of the gris, okay, the Dam Macholis. And a kegris, so that's the size. That's the bean. Avot tvei mehachi, says Rashi, in the second Rashi, the maso kegris. Avot tvei mehachi, ein dam macholis kol kach godol. Okay, if it's more blood than that, it didn't come from one of these little bugs, because one of these little bugs is too little to produce more blood than that. Okay? Now, Rabbi Chanan ben Tignes said, afal pi shelo harga, and the Rashi fills in, Rabbi Chanan polega d'rabbanan, the karmi harga in lo harga lo. Okay, the other opinion said, no, that we can only apply this kula, that maybe it came from this bug, if she knows she killed such a bug, but she didn't kill a bug, then she can't apply that. All right, then, Vitola b'bno b'bala yish b'maka, Rashi says, Okay, even yuvesha, even if it's a dried maka, a skib, but it can become moist. It becomes moist, and again, a hotzi dam, and it can produce blood. And then she was picked up her kid, and that's how the blood got on her garment and so on. So then you can be tola and all of that. That's the Mishnah in Nida Nunches Amud Beis. The Gemara says on that Mishnah, 3, Tanina Lahada Tanar Bonan, Maise Vitalar Mea Bekilor. Okay, kilor is some type of medicine, an eye medication that has a reddish color. As Rashi says, kilor, I don't know what the word is in French, but adom, it's some type of eye medicine that had a reddish color. Ointment is something that had a reddish color. Fine. Okay. Merebi tala bisraf shikma. Okay, that's the sap. Sraf is like a sap of a tree. You know, sorry, you know, sraf we have in the carbonus, right? It's a shikma, it's a sycamore tree. So whatever, that has also a reddish tinge to it. So he was taller than that. Okay, fine. Then it said in the Mishnah, O she yashra b'tzara sukin b'hem. Look at the first line back of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, or she herself didn't touch or had anything to do with any of these things, but she sat next to somebody who did. So then the Gemara clarifies, yashra in, lo yashra lo. But that's dafka if she knows she taka sat next to somebody, not if she didn't. And then it says, Tri lahad ha'bonon, avra b'shuk shal tabochim, sofik nitas alav sofik lo nitas alav tola. If she passed by the marketplace where they were shechting animals, chickens, whatever, and you don't know whether she was necessarily spritzed by some of the blood that splattered around, so then we can be tola. But sofik avra, sofik lo avra, but if we don't know that she went to a slaughterhouse, then you can't be tola. You can't be told. Then she's Tamea. And the same thing, like we saw in the Rashi before, the same thing the Chachamim here say. Harga macholes, yeah, harga in, lo harga lo. Okay, that's if you killed it, yeah, but if you didn't, no. Let's look in Rashi. Or lo yashua lo, but lo, we're not dealing with yashua v'lavadaite. Right? We don't say, oh, maybe she was sitting next to somebody and she didn't realize it. No, that far we don't go. All right, now the Gemara comes an important point of Machlokas. The Gemara says, masnisin money. Third line of source 3, Nun Ches Mabez and Nida, Masnisin money. So Mora says of Shimon Gamlielhi, the Tanya Harga Tola, Lo Harga Eina Tola. Right? He only said if Harga Macholas. Right? Look at towards the end of the first line back in 1, when the Mishnah introduced the case of the lice, the louse. So it says Harga Macholas. So the Harga in, Lo Harga Lo. Okay, that seems to be like the Shimon Gamliel. Harga Tola, Lo Harga Eina Tola. Shimon Gamliel, Bacharman Benkach, Benkach Tola. The Chum say either way she can be Tola. So that's good. So the mission is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now says the Gemara. Actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel talks. Rav Shimon Gamliel, lidvarai ein keitz. Okay, there's going to be no limit to the iser of ksamim. There's no limit because it's always going to be usser no matter what. What does it mean? Lidvarai ein keitz. Look in Rashi, third Rashi, in source 4, in Chesam Beis. Lidvarai ein keitz. She'eni no sin shir. Vim lo harga afilu kechardol tamei. Rav Shimon Gamliel insists that the only way you can come up with a kula for ksamim and say that maybe it's from a bug is if you know that she taka killed the bug. But if you don't know that she didn't, then I don't care how small it is, right? Even people stam kechardol. Okay, then that does away with this kula of gris, because according to Shimon Gamliel, once you say that you have to know that she taka killed the bug, so then if she didn't, then there's no shear. Then even kechardol tmeah. On the other hand, continues the Gemara. Uludivrei chaverai ain't sof. Okay, continue to look back in the Rashi. Uludivrei chaverai ain't sof. Shame mekilim yosem idai. Dafilu lo harga tola vein nostin shiro. Dafilu kisela tola yoser. On the other hand, the Chachamim say if she did kill a bug, then they didn't give any limit. It could be a ton of blood, and they're still going to put it on that. So let's look back in the Gemara. Okay, Ludivrei ain't kates. The fourth line of source 3. There are neither nuches and beis. Ludivrei ain't kates. She ain't lecha ish l'tzestar l'bala. She'll never be tar. She'ein lecha kol mito mito she'ein bo kama tipei dam macholes. Now that sounds a little, shall we say, disgusting to us. But in those days, again, you did not have, the types of, hygiene, and not only hygiene, but you didn't have type of cleanliness and so on and so forth that we have today. Okay, and therefore people were not clean, not necessarily so clean as they were today, and different types of. Beds and whatever else were infested, right? They're infested with bugs and other things like that, which we don't tend to have today. Again, every once in a while, you do have, like we said, you do have, what do you call it? bed bugs. They do have bed bugs even today from time to time. It's true. But more or less today, we have a different standards of cleanliness nowadays. We do laundry and so on and so forth. But in the days of the Chachamim, the houses were more dirty and they were very often infested with bugs. And bed sheets were often stained with the blood from squished bugs, you know. So therefore, says the Gemara, I mean, look at that statement, right? Ein lecha komito mita she'ein bo kama tipe dam, macholas, right? Every bed. Now, so says of Shum Gamliel, so according to me, okay, according to me, who says that she has to know that she killed the bug, no woman will be tarred to her husband because there's always blood spots and she doesn't know if she killed or not. So that can't be. On the other hand, okay, there's no limit in terms of the kula because you can always be tarred a bug. All right, so therefore, there's not going to do the whole din of ksamim. Whatever you find blood, so, it's a bug, right? So that's also no good. So she'en lecha isha, she'en a Torah labayla. She'en lecha kol sadim v'sadim, she'en v'kama tipi dam, right? And you'll always excuse it. So we conclude, avol nirin divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, back to the Mishnah, v'chanim v'tignus, midvarai v'divrei, I'm sure Galil says, v'chanim v'tignus is right. Omer ad kama hitola ad kagrisho pool. In other words, he kind of had a middle position, so to speak, right? He says that, again, Rav Shimon Gamliel says about himself, according to him, there's no limit on the chumrah, right? You can only be told on a bug if she knows she killed it, so it'll always be tmeah. It'll always be a problem. On the other hand, according to those, the chacham would disagree with him, there's no limit on the kula. Every sheet has blood spots, so she'll always say she's Torah, because she'll be told it, even if she doesn't know anything. So neither of those things would seem logically true, and therefore, she'll either always be a surah, she'll always be a terrorist, you know, based on summons. That doesn't seem to make sense. So therefore, Rechim and Tingler says the most sense, because he says we can be tola, yes, but only up to a certain point, right? We're not going to be machmer all the way. We're not going to be makel all the way either, right? Rechim and Tingler says, ad kami tola, grisha pula dvorav anu modim. Okay, we'll admit that he's correct. That's what Shimon Gamliel says. And like what I said, Rabbanan damri tola, ad kama, amrachim yitzak tola, the pishpesh, which is also some kind of a bed bug, bad keturmus, which is even a larger bug. Okay. Anyway, that's the Gemara. All right. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The next Rashi we're up to in 4 and Nun Chasimayz Ad Kigris Afil Lo Harga. And Chinam and Tignus kind of has a, I don't want to call it a compromise position, but that's what he says. He says up until a point you can be told Ad Kigris Afil Lo Harga, even if she's not aware that she killed any bug, but since the bugs were around and so on, then Ad Kigris Afil Lo Harga. But yes, I'm a Kigris. Okay, but if it's bigger than a Gris, then the other extreme, no, then we're not going to be told Afil Lo Harga. So she did. Now, here's an important point. Because we mean by gris, l'dvar v'yeshet tame kigris ve'od, which means a little more than a gris, l'tar pachas megris. We'll have to see. That's going to play in the discussion. We've shown him exactly what size we're talking about. But that's what the Rashi says, right? According to him, we can mitame if it's bigger than a gris ve'od, bigger than a bean plus, a little more than a bean. But if it's less than that, then we're not going to be, we'll mitame if it's bigger than a gris or oh, but otherwise we'll be told and we'll say she's tar. Ad kama, kom chiev shalisos kesem goro macholas. Okay, so Nachman says it depends on the size, it has its width, and some kind of a bed bug and so on. Okay, so that is that Gemara. Now, what exactly is the size that we're talking about? What if it's exactly a gris? Okay, what if it's exactly the size of a bin, the bean? As we said, we just saw a difference. If it's bigger than a bean, then we're not told anymore, and we'll have to be machmer and say she's tame. It's not blood from an insect. And if it's smaller than a gris, then we don't have to be matame here. We'll say that it came from the bug. Okay, but what if it's exactly the size of a gris? So the Gemara on the Chesmah Bay says, Ad kami tola, Amar Rav Huna, kigris eino tola. Once it reaches the size of a bean, says Rav Huna, that's it, eino tola. You can't be tola anymore. Pachos mikigris tola. So therefore, the gris ready is going to be tame. It's got to be less than a gris in order to be tola and to be mekel. See, that's Rav Huna. Rav Chista Amar, no, kigris tola. Yosem gris ainot tola. Rav Chista disagrees. He says when it's still the size of a gris, you can be tola. You can be mekel even when it's the size of a gris. It's only when it's yosem kigris, so it's more than a gris, then ainot tola. So that's a machlokas amaroyim. All right, that's Rav Huna says you can only be tola on pachas mikigris, but not a gris itself. And Rav Chista says no, even a gris itself can be tola and not more than a gris. And let me tell you, from looking at Maris, you know, sometimes it's very close. Sometimes this machlokas is an important machlokas because sometimes you know, when you're doing the measuring, it's very close. It's very close, to see, even if it's the right color and everything else. But, you know, the size is important. So, you know, it can be very close. So the Gemara now continues. What's this machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Chista revolve around? All right. So lema ba'ad ba'ad b'chal kamiflagid. The Gemara suggests the old machlokas, when we say ad, does it mean ad ba'ad b'chal, means up until and including, or we'd say in English through, okay, ad v'lo b'chal, up until but not including, right? We would always darshan that, you know, how we wanted to darshan. So the teacher gave an assignment. Read up until page 62. All right, so we'd say, well, that doesn't include page 62. Okay, or do all the problems up through problem 17. Up until problem 17. So, okay, I only did the first 16. All right, you said until 17. So, or do you mean until including, right? So people will darshan this, you know, whatever suits their needs at the time. But we know there's some famous machokas in the Gemara, whether ad b'chal or ad v'lo ad b'chal. So the Gemara suggests that's the machokas here. Rav Huna sober ad v'lo ad b'chal. Rav Huna says, up until the size of the gris, v'lo ad b'chal, but not the size of the gris. Therefore, once the size of the gris, ain't no tola anymore. And Rav Chista sober ad v'ad b'chal. No, up until and including the size of gris. The other Gemara says, no, amar lachar Rav Huna, Ika ad v'ad b'chal, v'ika ad v'lo ad b'chal, v'hachal l'chumro, v'hachal l'chumro. We always have to be machmer. You're right. Usually I'll say l'chumro. Let's look in the Rashi in 6. Nidon and Ches Mabez. V'hachal l'chumro, hilchach ad v'lo ad b'chal. The ad v'ad b'chal, have a little kula. D'ksoni ad k'gris tola. So if you say ad v'lo ad b'chal, if you say ad v'ad b'chal, that'll be a kula. Okay, that'll be a kula, because only up until a gris, up until a gris, you can be taller. But ad, if you're saying through and including the gris, then you can be taller even the size of the gris. That's a kula. Okay, but a kamelon be'elu treifas, the chol ad as lin l'chumro. Either way, we're going to be machmer. I told you before, when we were darshan in school, so we darshan whatever suits us. But the Gemara says in Chulin that it's we darshan l'chumro. But Rav Chista said, so, and therefore, he says, "V'chol ad as in the chumr," says Rashi. "Oh, ad e ad v'ad chumr hu as in a basrei. If ad and ad, including right through, that's a chumr. It will go like that. The e ad v'lo ad chumr hu as in a basrei will always be machmir. So that is the position of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said it's got nothing to do really with the argument ad v'lo ad v'ad b'chal, but it's right here we have to be machmir. Here we have to be machmir. And therefore, when it said ad kigris." Okay, that was the language of the Mishnah. Again, look back in source one. That was the language of the Mishnah on the Chesem Beis. Rabbi Chanan ben Tignas Omer Ad Kigris. So when he said Ad Kigris, he means Ad Lechumra, up until not including. And therefore, because in this case, if you're going to say it includes a gris, it'll be a kula, because you can still be tola a gris. But Rabbi Huna says, no, here you can't be tola a gris, only less than a gris. And Rabbi Chista says, I agree with you in general. Special kula by Gris, he passed like a babo, who says, usually you're right, usually the chacham and machmer, but here they're makel. Okay, and then we go back to that question of the whole kesem. They only made the gzera in this particular case, and therefore we can makel. Okay, so that's a machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So the question now becomes, okay, really on these two issues, and I lined up a whole batch of Rishonim. If you saw the Makaris, we'll go through it quickly. I mean, I'm not interested in Shita bombing here, but just to see, because there are a lot of different discussions of Rishonim, and really there are two issues at play here. Okay, one, are we Makel only when she knew she that machlokas only when she knew Shitaka killed a bug? Okay, or even, you know, how do we pass in that machlokas? And number two, how do we pass in machlokas when the shear of the size of the kesem is exactly a gris? How do we pass in that machlokas? We have two machlokas in here. What I just showed you in the first part of this shear, you know, the gemaras, right, the relevant gemaras, and daf nun chesem beizin, either regarding the size of a kesem, we had two machlokas. One machlokas was, you have to know dafka that she killed the bug in order to apply the whole kula. And number two, what if it's attacked to the size of a gris? Okay, that's the question that we're up to now. So the Ravan, okay, in his Hilchos Nida Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, he says as follows, of 7, Vafila Beninza Kenegad Vesaturfa, even if the blood spot was found right near that part of the body, the genital area of the body, and so on, she can be told it, and something else, she can be told it, and so on. If there's a makkah and a sinat, or for children, even goes to that. Or v'chein at the end of the page, v'chein b'dam kino parashu, you know, the different types of insects and bugs and so on. Okay, lice and mosquitoes and this and that. Okay, called top actually ventilus, whatever they are. tola im hargon. So Ravan is machri. He said you only be tola if you know that you killed one. Okay, and he says vakesem pachos mikigris shalpul. Avakigris ain't a tola and ain bahem dam kigris. So Ravan paskins le hachmir both machoksim. He says number one, we can only be tola if you know that you killed. Number two, he passes like Rav Huna that a gris exactly you can't be tola. Okay, only ad gris, and in this case we'll say ad below ad bechal, because that's the chumer. That's what Huna said. We'll in the machlokas with ad ad bechal, ad below bechal, we'll always go to chumer. So that's how the Ravan paskins. The Zeruah, okay, seems to agree, okay, and he elaborates on it. The Zeruah in Hilchos Nidah Simin Shin Nun Aleph in source number 8. Elish Gazur Rabbanu Aksam Hainu Vaday Shemene Yotzadam Afal Pisha Hergisha Tameya. Fine. Aval Safek Lois Kikua. Okay, the case of Ksamim is only when we know, when we can determine, says there is a rule, that the blood came from her. But if there's a Safek, then not. And therefore, Hilchach, Hecha de Ikle Misle Kula Talina, Filu Kenegat Atorfa, and so on. He quotes the Mishnah, even if the bloodstain was found near her genital area, near where she was sitting, and so on and so forth, and odds are it came from there, no, we can always be Tola. But look what he says in the third line, just elaborating on that Shita like the Ravan. Vidafka Biseka Achas Tola. We can only be tola if there's one suffix. Of a trace fake low, meaning Kedama Gmar, Yoshua in, lo Yoshua lo. Okay, if she sat near somebody who was working with blood, so then we can tell her, but not if she wasn't. At Tanila Hotavana, over Beshuk Shotavachim, suffix nitas alav suffix lo nita alav tola. But suffix over a suffix lo over, then ain't a tola, pirish, mishum da havala trace fake, right? In other words, if she's not sure she walked past the butcher shop, okay, or the slaughterhouse and so on and so forth, then we can't be tola because that's a double suffix. Number one, did she go there? Did she not go there? Even if she went there, did any of the blood splatter on her or not? Well, it doesn't automatically splatter everybody walking by, right? He says, that's trace fake. The team salon over, shemalonitas. All right, so that's what he explains. In other words, not when there are two sfeikas. If there's a suffix whether she went to the shuk shal tabachim, then we don't say maybe she went and maybe blood splattered. That's too far-fetched. Okay, we're not going to be lakula. Well, we're going to make clear because maybe she went. I'm sorry. We don't know that she went there. Maybe she did go. Okay, and not only that, but maybe she was there. She got splattered on. It's a double. You hear what Arizor is saying? It's a double suffix. It's too far-fetched. And therefore, he says we can't be makel in such a case. Okay, we only talk about a tlia, therefore, in a case when she knows a fact. There's only one suffix. Want a question? No, okay.
That's just a unique place where we have Svek Svek Alahaf here.
Yes, in this case, right, Echanami. But, he avoids, I don't think he means Svek Sveka. You know, you're right, conception is the same thing, but he says cause a trace of it because it's for, you're right, it's because it's more far-fetched. Okay, but at the end of the day, look what he said the last line. Ve'ein halacha k'rebchanan ben tignas to amar tola afal b'shalo harga. That's what Ezra was saying. The halacha is not like k'rebchanan ben tignas who says. But you're right. Okay, so that's the Ezra ruah. All right, the Sefer Truma says ve'ein maka v'lo grav is like an itch. Sometimes they're like a mosquito bite. You know, you ever scratch a mosquito bite? And sometimes it do produce blood. No, I mean, I have. If you scratch hard enough, you know, the mosquito bite or some other little bug to scratch it. And sometimes it depends on the part of the body, I guess, but it can produce blood. So she has no maka, no grav, low bob, low ba'acha, shishach, ma'am, gamlon, is asking, shum, dover, adam, ozim, akesem, gala, yosim, and kibishal, pool. Okay, then tamea. So it's mashma from the Sefer Truma. Look what he says. If the kesem is bigger than a gris, the mashmos here is that if it's exactly a gris, then we can be tola. Because he says, if a kesem gadol yosim gris shall pull then tamei. The mehecha kasim lo benamoka. Where else did it come from? She has no makas and she wasn't sitting with anybody and so on and so forth. Okay. But if a kesem pachos mikig gris shall pull. Okay. But if it's smaller, now here he says mash the other way. He says here would be mash for the gris. It can be tola, so I can't really tell you from the Sefer Truma what he holds on that question. But he says, "Rechinim and Tignas, Omer tola b'machalos afal pishal harga tola ba utahora shein lecham mito mito shein rakam atipe dam and so on." Imkain lo timsi yishes tola ba lechach. Now here he says, "Ad kegris tola machalos." Okay, up until a gris, she can be tola machalos. You know, this lice and bed bug or whatever, or parish and so on. Utahora kozoshin and parakaroa kesem v'chein halacha. V'chein halacha. So the Sefer Truma seems to hold that if it's more than a gris, she's tmeh. If it's less than a gris, she's Torah. Okay. So he doesn't really exactly weigh in on that machlokas about the grist, but he does weigh in saying, he said, it's even if you didn't kill something, it's okay. Okay, that's the point. Even if you know you didn't do it, it's still okay. So that's the Sefer HaTrumah. What's the next one I have is the Rokeach. Again, I'm not trying to just... But all these Rishonim are, again, I'm trying to stress that we're tackling two issues here, and they don't all say the same thing. The Rokeach and his Hilchos need a Simen Shun Yud Zayin, 10. The Kaimelon B'Parak HaRoi Kesem K'Vichrem HaTignos. Bein Hargam and Shalog, exactly the opposite of the conclusion of the Orzeruah at 8. There was a ruler there, and Simon Shun and Aleph concluded, "Ve'ein halacha k'bichrim b'tignus." They're showing the Rokeach disagrees. The Rokeach says, "Kamalon, perker Rokeach b'chrim b'tignus." Bein harga b'shalorga b'chalos bo tola bo ad kigris shalpul. Okay, now he seems to be saying on that machlok is only up until a gris, but a gris itself would not be. Okay, gris exactly wouldn't be tola. That's what it looks like. Okay, the talin and bekinim of harishma who davar muat the Torah. So again, if you want to be medayik in the Rokeach, he's definitely weighing in the first machlok. Definitely weighing in, saying we pass going to clear them in tignus. Doesn't matter. Bein hargam and shalorga. So against what we saw before from the Ozeru and from the Ravan and so on. But the second machlok is, I don't know. He says ad kigris, so maybe it means up until not including. Okay, and that machlok is he goes that way. The smack 11, seven is called the smack mitzvah reish tzadi gimel. Okay. Etc. Again, if she has a wound or an itch, if it's something that could produce dam, okay, or she needs to ask about dam tzipor, other people, her husband or her kids that she have scratches and bites in his blood, whatever. Okay, tolav kol tara afilo ein lab melislos. She says even if ein lab melislos, the kesem who pochos mikigris. He's pretty explicit. He says the only way we can be makel is if the kesem is less than a gris, meaning a gris itself would not make. I mean, he is smack is pretty clear in my opinion. Okay, he's saying that it's we are not told exactly a gris. That's how he goes because he says we're only told if it's pachos me gris. But he also agrees afal pishalo harga, not machlo, because he goes, you know, he holds that you don't have to have killed. The Ravid, coming to the more regular post, more regular look at the Ravid. In the Balei Nefesh Sharak Samin Simon Gimel 12, Nachzul Mishnaseinu Harga Macholas Vizu Tolaba Vakami Tolaba Chlim Vizu Oma Kikush Shapul Ve'afal Pishul Harga Ve'kaimelon Kerbichlim and Tignos. He also says we pass him, which by the way is the Pashas in the Gemara, because Shimon Gamliel said he deferred. He said my opinion is a problem and my Chacham's opinion is a problem. Right? I come out. You always have to be Machmer. Chacham come out. You always make him. Therefore, I prefer Chlim and Tignos. So the Ravid says Kaimel Kerbichlim and Tignos. Okay, Reish and Ksani Harga in Lo Harga Lo. Okay, that's what we pass him. Shun Galil Ksani La Aliba Then Afshir Veles Hilchos Hakavasim Shun Galil. We don't pass him Shun Galil. Fine. Okay, pass him Shun Galil. This because Shun Galil himself reverses his opinion. That's what the Ravid says, right? According to the Bryce, it says in the Bryce that we saw. I will near the Rechamin and be divided the Rechamin. Shomer Tola Ad Kigris Afal Pi Shelo Harga. Okay, Ad Kigris. Okay, now what does he mean by Ad Kigris? Well, again. I don't know if the Ravid is clear on that. He says at the end, the Kim Lulur Abonim, the Lo Efshma Chalas Makom Echad Yosem Mikigris. Right? Is that the Chachamim assume that a Macholas doesn't have enough blood to produce a stain that's bigger than a gris? It sounds like he's saying a gris will be okay still. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, I can't, he doesn't spell it out, the Ravid, but it seems to me, anyway, from his words, that. That you can be told that even, first of all, he says for sure you can be told even though he killed something. And he said, it sounds like you can be makel even if it's exactly a gris. Okay, not, and only if it's Yosef gris is their problem. The smag also has an expression. And he seems also to be makel, it can be told in a gris, because he says, look at the 13, the smag is simon kuf yud aleph. We ain't makel lo grav lo bov lo b'achat shokam, and nothing else be told. Still, in my kesem of gris, shall pull the ode to mea. Gris va'od. It's bigger than a gris, meaning a gris itself is still okay. That's what he says. The meiz amakom olam anakor. If a kesem pachos mikushal pul va'od, if it's smaller than a gris va'od, it's smaller than a gris plus, meaning a gris itself. Okay, so then we're not going to be told. Afal pish, but he also agrees. Afal pish lo harga, machol is tola ba'od tohora, and he says later v'chein halacha. The Ramban, Hilchos Nida, the Ramban Perek Dalad Os Tes Zion 14. Yeah, question.
Just on the smag. Yeah. When he says "hu chatzi pol," so yeah. That's a reference to what the ode is. I mean, the ode is saying.
I think that's what he's saying. Okay, It's chatzi grishal pool.
I mean, it's not just sitting slightly more than
that's a question of how much more. I don't know. Okay, and I'm not sure of all these measurements. We'll see in a moment the measurement. I thought, but I did think it means, right? It means uchatzi pool, which is a, not just a, it's a bigger kula, is what you're saying.
That's 150%.
Yeah, right. It's a bigger kula. Okay, again, I thought about that. I don't know, because chatzi also can mean just less than a whole. You know what I mean? I don't know if it means exactly chatzi. Chatzi hollow. But it's a good question. I thought that's what you meant, but I'm not sure what that ends up to practically with the smag. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, the Ramban and his hilchos need a paragdal os tezayin. Nimsa kesel al begadel b'sorah ke'echad tolep. We'll come back to that point in a moment. Okay, meaning even a gris exactly. Okay, so Ramban also says that a gris is still okay. The only problem is when it's yosem kigris. The Rashba, the Taurus Habayis, when it finishes up at this point, okay, the Rashba, the Taurus Habayis, by its Aruch, by Zayin Shar Dalet, quotes, you know, the Rashba quotes everything, right? He just presents the whole case. So he quotes the Mishnah and so on. And then he says in the second line, he quotes the Gemara, right? Itmar Lobe Gemara, quotes the Mishnah, then he quotes the Gemara, the Machokas of Hunar Rechista, about the size of the gris. And towards the end of the second line, the Rashba writes, usually we paskin like Ravuna against Rechista. But here, Hocha Kamal Kamchista, the Koyk of Yochanan, the Amar Bavam Yochanan, Kol Shir Chamal Hachme, Chuz Vigadim, Mikigris Shol Kisam, like we saw, right? They say, here, we're going to be Makel, okay, and we'll allow even the size of a gris to be counted as it's coming from a Macholas, and therefore we're Tola, and we're Makel. Klomar, Bechol Hashun Shir, Mitzumtsum Bioser, Mishir Yesh Lahachme, Chuz Mikris Shol Kisam, Mishul Lahokel. Fine. Uplukti Bi'ar Yochanan, Bechalina, the Hosam, Mitzal Kigris, Va'od. Okay, but also the ode ritzufa b'macholas. Okay, you know, sometimes you swat the bug, so there's this blood, this blood, and then there's the place where the bug itself is, right? So that's we paskin like Rav Chista, and up until the gris is good, and kitai begris, but gris for ode lo talia, all right? But gris is like it says at the end clearly. He's looking at the words at the end. The gris kepachos mikigris. I mean, the Rashba is really the only one who deals with it explicitly. We don't have to medayik anything. The Rashba spells it out, mamish. He says gris kepachos mikigris. You see that? The end of the Rashba, the size of a gris, and he says v'hakin pasuk kular vasa. That's what my rebbeimol paskin and so on. So that's what the Rashba is pretty clear that we pasuk like mechista and we makel, right? And a gris is like less than a gris, and therefore we makel. It have to be more than a gris to be a problem. The Rosh also writes and need the parakas to involve. Ad kagushapul arm of Hununa kagris and a tola pachos mugris tola. He has it, Rav Hamnuna, whatever. Rav Chista arm of kagris tola, yosh mugris and a tola hilchasuk of Chista. Okay, and then again, based on Rabbi Yochanan, that we come to somewhere we make him. The Rambam, Perak Tas of Ilchasurbi, Alacha Chav Gimel, 17. Nimsa kesam abagadeha, Uvsara keechad, tola bechol sheesh alitlos, the tola macholas, shem beish yosh, onerga macholas, the dam zed dam macholas, even ad kama ad kagris. Up until, and it sounds like including, because look at the next line, or the next words of the Rambam, Avali Mata Kesem Yeser Mikigris. It's more than Eina Tol Macholas, and so on. So that's how the Rambam seems to paskin as well. The tour here in our Simon Kuvtsadi says, Lo Gozu Ala Kesem Elim Ken Yeshbo Yehebo Kigris for Od. And then he gives you further details. Doesn't help us so much, but Ukigris, he tests Adoshos, lentils, okay? So he tells us you don't have to have known that you killed anything. How do we pass the Shulchan Aruch? Here, Sif Hey, we're up to finally the Shulchan Aruch. 19. Shulchan Aruch says, Lo gozu ala kesem. I'm sorry. Lo yagolo gozu ela im ken yeshbo kegris v'od. It's got to be bigger than a gris. Bashir hagris hu ketes adoshim. Okay. Bashir adosha kedalad Cyrus. With the four hairs, okay, and he says shahu lamed vav. That's, you know, nine adoshim. Each one is four, so 9 times 4 is 36. Shahu lamed vav saros kamoshen kubus beguvus adam. 36 hairs. You know, a person's hairs come out, right? You count. That's the size of a gris. That's what he gives you. Okay. B'chol's man she'ein bo kaze hashir anu tonen lomer dam kinahu afal pi shelo harga kina. Up until that point, we'll say that it came from a bug, okay, from some insect, even though she never killed any such kina. Okay. All right. So that's the din of the Shulchan Aruch. Now the question is, and it's really what the Ravid deals with here in Source 20, a very important point, really. Okay. Bizman hazeh, first of all, we don't have too many lice and bed bugs around anymore. I mean, every once in a while, the kids come home from school, they have to have lice checks, you know, but you know what I'm talking about, right? You must have had them when you were growing up. No, they checked you for lice. In my time, they didn't have it. But, you know, it was always a problem, especially more with the girls, because that goes through their hair. And then if it was infested, you had to throw out all the dolls that had hair or cut the dolls' hair. It was a mess, right? So, but still, we don't generally have these kind of bed bugs and lice that are around. We don't, like Gemara said, there's no such bed sheet that doesn't have lots of blood stains. Well, most of us have probably never seen a blood stain on a bed sheet because we don't have that, okay? Our whole system is different. We don't have those type of kinim around. Not only that, but a lot of the discussion about ksamim, if you remember back to our introduction the other day, a lot of discussion about ksamim related to taris, right? Will they go back or mislays? And not, you know, it's a taris question, okay? So it's interesting that the riff, again, there's no riff here in Nida, but the riff in Shavuos where he talks about, you know, Hilchos Nida, as we've seen a couple of times, the riff actually never brings up the dinim of ksamim. It's a staggering point. It's a point to be aware of. I couldn't quote it because insane. Okay, but take my word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. The Rishonim pointed out of there. The Rif never mentioned the whole thing of Ksamim, prompting some to suggest, okay, and some include the Sefer HaEshkol. Sefer HaEshkol. Now, the Sefer HaEshkol, to say that the Rif holds that there's no din, the whole din of Ksamim doesn't apply nowadays. That's a pretty important point. Okay, the whole gzeir of Ksamim, the Rif doesn't bring it. Why does the Rif bring it? Because we know the Rif only brings those Gemaras which are halacha l'maisa. And the Rif doesn't quote it here. If he doesn't quote it, then it doesn't hold halacha l'maisa. It's only by the only din in Taris, which is not applicable today. It's not Isha L'Baila. So that's an important shita. And I do want to mention something about the Eshkol I've mentioned in the past. The Eshkol, the Sefer Eshkol was a Rishon. He was the father-in-law of the Ravid. Of a regular Ravid, you know, the Balei Nefesh, the Ravid and the Rambam. His father-in-law, I said, sometimes also called Ravid because of the, his name was Avram, and Avram Av Bezdin. So that also somehow got shortened sometimes into Ravid. So you have to know. So he was the father-in-law of the Ravid. It's important to point out, I didn't quote the Sefer Eshkol here, actually, because there's a whole tumult whether the Sefer Eshkol was printed relatively recently. By a Talmud Chacham, Benjamin Arbach was his name, from the Arbach family, you know, older, you know, and he printed the Sefer Eshkol that I have. He wrote an important commentary called the Nachal Eshkol, a very important commentary. So I have here in the house Sefer Eshkol. Maybe I'll just take it off the shelf, that happened in my study today. Since I have it right here, so we can have an audio-visual aid, okay. This is the Sefer Eshkol. This is the old edition or the original edition. It was put out by Tzvi Binyamin Arbach. Okay. And it says here, this particular edition, anyway, but I think it was not, it was originally put out in Tuf Reish Chaf Ches. So Tuf Reish Chaf Ches was 1868. Am I right? I think so. Yeah. And so, you know, 150 years ago or so. Right, that, I mean, the Eshkol is much older. Eshkol is a Rishon, but it was published by this from a manuscript by. It says Sefer on the front page. I don't know if you can see it, but it says Sefer Eshkol. Oh, you'll see it backwards. I'll read it. Rabbi Avram, you see it backwards? No, is it backwards? When you see it, or you can see it forward. I don't know. All right, hey, Rabbi Avram, Rabbi Yitzchak Av Bezdin Arvona.
You see it backwards. We'll see it forwards.
Oh, you see it forwards. Okay, good.
Yeah, it looks backwards right. To you, but it's forwards.
Right. That's what I thought. It's like a selfie, right? All right. Anyway, so it says, not that anything about that, but anyway, Rabbi Avram, Rabbi Yitzchak Av Bezdin Zatzal Min Arvona Chosno Rabbi Shal Arayvin Zatzal. Okay, and he has a Ksav Yad that he found that he came across someplace and so on and so forth. And there was a commentary. So we open up. Here's a random page. Let's open up to. Here's the Sefer Eshkol. And here's the Nachal Eshkol. It's almost on every page like that, you know. So, okay, it's obviously a big Talmud Chacham. Now, years later, There was some pick book whether not against this Binyamin Tziarbach, because he was, you know, I think is beyond reproach, but they said it may not be an accurate manuscript. It wasn't really from the Sefer Eshkol, okay. I mentioned this once before, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, you know, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. He has a safe, they put out, in fact, they just came out the third volume now, Collected Essays. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's Collected Essays. So one of the first two, I didn't see the third one yet, but it just came out. But the one of the first two, he has an essay on something, and he mentions in a footnote that it was questionable whether this was an accurate manuscript. So the Albeck, I have a different set of Eshkol here, okay, which is a put out by Albeck, Shalom Albeck, okay, and his son Chanoch Albeck, who put out manuscripts and so on and so forth, and it's not the same. A lot of stuff's not in it, you know. So that's a question. But anyway, but here it's pretty. Well, let's see. So the Sefer Eshkol quotes in the database. They have only the modern one. The database does not have the other ones. I couldn't print from it. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. The Ravid, the regular Ravid, helps us out here. And looking at 20, the Bala Nefesharik, some of the Psicha, the introductions where Isa Lafarge broke Summon, she should Tzricha Lachashan, and so on and so forth. Okay? And what she's told her, and so on. He gives a little introduction. You can read that. But then he writes, look in the beginning of the second paragraph of 20. I have to deal first with those, so he was aware of the Shita. May have been his father-in-law's Shita. Okay, and a riff sheet. He said, Ravid was well aware of it. He said, I have to deal first with those who hold there's no din of Ksamim Mizmanazet. But Rai awesome, the Rai is Kiaksamim Drabonim, Koshom, Misha, Dami is over, etc. Chain Me'ais, etc. Kshain, Shain Me'ais, Lais, Elataris, Kain, Enachat, Ksam Elataris. Because the Misha Nida brought up the issue of Me'ais, Lais, as we saw the other day, right? That they brought up whether it's Mitam Me'ais, Lais, and so on like Ere'ia. And they only discussed it in the context of Metam Eisleis, which is a Taurus question. So therefore, it's only a Taurus problem. There's no Ksama other than the area of Taurus. Ukshim Metam is Bola, Oseh Mishkavos and Moshav. All that. Okay, Hilchos Tumah Tara. Okay, Tumah Mishkav Moshav and so on. It's a Kol Taurus. Avalabayla Ein Bo Iser and Zeh Tam Matirin. So you look on the fourth line, and we know that the Ravid talked sharply, not only about the Rambam in general, but Hevel Hubiyadva. It's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Sharamer Brisa. The Bryce we now quoted a couple times. Lo amru ksamu lahak el adivrei Torah lahachmar adivrei Torah. Klomar lasos siog l'Torah. Right? The ksamim were to protect the Torah. Alma le'inyan iser nida. Therefore, it's got to be toma nida also. That's a din, right? And he brings various other riots. You can take a look. But it is and plus he quotes our Gemara. Remember, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, you know, there's a machlokas between me and the Chachamim. The problem with me is that I'm too, my sheet will come out too machmir, because you'll never be able to have a tliya, okay, no matter how small it is, unless she knows that she killed the bug. And on the other hand, my colleagues, the Chachamim, you'll never have a chumra, because no matter what size, you can always be taller in something. And that's why I prefer to chumra tignes. Says the Rabbi, but what was he talking about? It's a look at his language. He quotes it a couple lines in the bottom, right? He said, ain lecha isha shetahor lebaila. Labaila. So clearly, says the Rabbi, talking about the Isra Labaila. What do you mean? Okay, it's a kasha. Okay, and to be honest, I looked in a little bit. I don't know what the Rif would say. Okay, it's a pretty strong kasha. Okay, I'm sure more people talk about it, and if you're interested, I guess you can research it. But it's not Nagel Achal Amais. I mean, but the Rif Shita, if indeed that is a Shita, is very problematical, because you see in the sugya that we just saw today, the discussion related to Yisrael Baila. So what's going on? Okay. And after the Rabbi says two lines on the bottom of that page, in 20, V'mitkomer shetar l'baila, sh'mamidil, Yisrael l'baila kamerinim. V'ilataris, le'im sh'ein l'cha isha shetara. The Gemara should have just said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel should have said, you'll never find a woman who's tahora. But he didn't say that. He says, tahora l'baila. Okay, so therefore, he's of the opinion, the Rav it is, that there's certainly a din of summon that applies bizman hazeh. Okay, and therefore, that's the situation with that. And this is important to mention. Yeah.
Thank it's not really necessarily such a good answer, but like, couldn't you say sort of what we had said when it comes to Bedikos Beit HaShemesh, that once you're going to say it Le'inyan Taharus, then you'll say it
right, and Echanami.
But okay, I mean, but it wouldn't be quite the same, because that's in terms of whether you should do the Bedika, but if you got the result, so everyone would agree that she'd be Tmeir, regardless of whether it's Taharus. But
right, okay.
But maybe the Gzira was primarily for Taharus.
Maybe it was, but still not going to change Halacha L'maaseh. The Rif should still quote it, no?
Well, no, meaning if the Gzira was only because of Taharus, so then she's still going to be... And the real problem that would... Lohinachta Bas Lavram.
Right, right.
The main problem would be the effect on the Baal, even though the...
That's interesting. Okay, interesting. Okay. It's interesting. I hear what you're saying. All right,
It's not a great answer.
I don't think it's a pashas. Exactly. You know, but it's interesting. Okay. Okay, good. But anyway, that's certainly not how the Ravid holds. If you take a look and just explain a little bit to maybe of the alumnus over here, there's some so far. I didn't print the whole tshuva. Okay. Interesting idea. Okay. Anyway, take a look at some so far. I didn't print the whole tshuva, but it's an important tshuva in Chilek Erdes and Kuf Pei Beis. Behine Harav Av Bezdin, that's the Eshkol. Do you see that in 21? Behine Harav Av Bezdin, Havasvirle, Delo Omruk Samam Elataris Alola Baila. And the Ravid, our Ravid, Tamola. Okay. He was astonished based on the Gemara and so on and so forth. Okay. Because it says Torah Baila, Elakorch Labar Namichashun Lakhsam, Chain Hilkhazo. This is almost like you're saying in a way, I think I said, Tchilas there's some hoya kishai oskimitaris. Umela nesar nami labailam. He's sort of saying that, no? See that, Alex? I know you're not saying exactly that, but he kind of has that, right? The Xera started with some him, and therefore, umela nesar nami labailam. Achshav nami shabitl taris, bekomokum dover shenesar beminion, sark minion achvati. That's what he says.
I mean, but he's coming to the opposite conclusion.
Right, exactly. Right, the Sora is there. The Sora is there, though. But he says, and he said the Machokas will be whether it's a Dovish and Minyan or not. Okay? To take a look also, again, I was just intrigued by the whole issue. So that's why I print also the Aruch Laner. Okay? The Aruch Laner on that Dafanida, Nun Chesem Bez, Vetlinger. Od Kosa Ravid Sham. Al Shita Zut the Hevel Hibi Adam, right? He disagrees completely with that Shita. And he says the Raya that it's a. So he says, one Raya says, I don't understand. He says, what do you mean? The Gemara says, Siag La Torah. It sounds like it's a Bible. Says the Archonite, why? Maybe the Siag has to do with Ksamim. I mean, with the Taurus, right? That's stuff. So he dismisses that Raya. He says, Lo Ivanti, Raya Zu Lo Ivanti. Behealing the Taurus, Shalalova, Lechel, Truma, Vituma, Sheva Misa, O Kachimit, which requires Lo Avi Gamkain, Siag La Torah. What do you mean? Siag La Torah applies to Taurus also. Right, they end up eating truma when you're not allowed to, or kosher when you're not allowed to. Those are the heavy duties. So why wouldn't so just because the Gemara uses the expression siag la Torah says the Aruch Haner, that doesn't automatically mean that's not a discussion of ksamen. And I'm sorry, of Taurus. Maybe it is of Taurus. Then he brought the other raya and so on, which is the one I skipped over. The anyway, at the end he writes v'lochein mikol rayas.
He's speaking there that that's a very old minhag not to learn anything other than, you know, Nashon Mezikin, you know, Mandong Lentiros.
That's the walker. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, parts of Moed, I guess, too, right? That's a different question when that practice. You know, Velazhny didn't follow that practice. They studied everything. But I think that's our yeshiva is supposed to be a continuation of Velazhny, like Rav Shecht always reminds us, right? So that's why. We learn other things. Okay, anyway, the Rav also didn't. The Rav sat on everything, right? That's the Volozhna tradition. Okay, anyway, he says, at the end, the Aruch Haner says, L'chein mikol rayas arayv, and the ain't raya neged shittas. So he dismisses the rayas. Shekviya nira higam shittas arif, sheshmin kol dinei ksomim bilchosov. So just this time, I don't want to, you know, he just feels the rayas can be dismissed. So, okay, I personally think the rift remains difficult, but that's the situation. Now, I just want to mention sort of as an aside with some point, but it's an important point, okay? Basically, the question is, does the kula of a kesem pachos migigris apply nowadays? Because that's also part of the issue. The maisa, we don't have... Okay, so here we dealt whether it applies to only to Taurus or not. Okay, but now to the second question. We don't have these bugs and that kind of thing today. You know what I mean? It's not a, you know, it's not a, not a type of tliya that's really reasonable today. Okay, a woman comes in, oh, well, maybe you squashed a mosquito. I mean, it's not really. So the truth is that, you know, that some feel, okay.
Women also wear underwear. That's
oh, it's also correct. Yes, that's also very important. Absolutely. Okay, and the truth the question is, in other words, and this goes back to this big, okay, I spent time showing you other Rishonim, all the other Rishonim. Why did I spend the time? Because not just to see the Shitas, but some of the Rishonim are clearly saying that we have to paskin that it's only possible to talk about Tliya when it's reasonable to say it. If she knows she killed him, we saw the machlokas. But I'm saying those shitas, which we don't seem to paskin like, but it's very logical to say that. What do you mean? A Tliya means to be told on something. It's logical to be told on, right? It's logical to, if she killed, if she was sitting over here, if she went to a slaughterhouse, and if she didn't. So again, we saw some of the Arzarua said, well, we don't go so far as when there's a double suffix, but even when there's a single suffix, I mean, you know, we don't even have a single real suffix today, right? So that's what some want to claim. Some want to claim it's they can only say a tliya is going to be something you can work with only when there's something reasonable for it to be told on. You know, I mean, a reasonable reason, so to speak, to make such a tliya, okay? And that wouldn't necessarily apply today without the bugs. On the other hand, so what's the argument the other way? Would seem to be the majority. The argument the other way is that no, that the Chachamim in effect decided that when they made the Gzeir of Ksamim, which they instituted, so Heimamer v'Heimamer, they instituted, it's only considered a Kesem if it's size X, and that's it. I was nowhere near any mosquitoes and bed. It doesn't matter. They don't, you hear that's really what it boils down to. And to take it a step further, okay, some sofer there and others and print all things along with
Alex and I were sort of looking ahead to the discussion about Basara versus the Gadet versus Chalukah.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the next Sunday, but we'll have a little bit on it today. But that was
that discussion sounds much more like the other side of it. Yes, has to actually make sense.
Yeah, right. I know that side. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But it also may revolve around the following question. Okay, our original question of what the reason for again, you know, if you hold like it has to be reasonable, so we don't have too many squashed bugs around our house to make a tliya on that is silly. What kind of tliya? On the other hand, it doesn't matter. If that was a shear, then that's a shear. So this may revolve around our original question of what the gzera, again, this kakira, of what the gzera of ksamim was. Okay. Meaning, remember, the Rashi had two different explanations, right? Whether it's a din in Shema Dilma Irgashavalo Dilma Irgashavalavadite, as you realize, or it's kind of like a gzera not to be made in other areas. So the truth is, according to Rashi, there's a chashash, right? But according to the Midaraisa, what comes, I'll try to explain it, but you see, it could be, I think I mentioned at the very beginning of the year, when a woman is considered a nida, so also the dam nida is tame, right? We discussed that, I think, at the very beginning, that there's also a concept of the dam nida being tame, okay? And we could say, the hechatimsa, I think I mentioned it then, that the dam nida can be tame, even if she's not a sula baila. Remember we had that? Okay, the dam nida as qua dam, it can be, so, that's and again, we not to guess. Someone say we're all tamei meis anyhow, and so on. But the dam nida in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so you can have a funny situation. You can have a woman who's not a surah labaila, okay? She herself is not tamei, but the dam is tamei. The garment on which the dam landed is going to be called tamei. I have to take it to mikveh, right? They have to be the tovel the garment in the mikveh, right? So therefore, the chachamim said, in such a case, we're going to consider the woman to be a nida on a drabana level. Okay, and that's why, even if there's no chash, that could be the explanation of that shita in Rashi. That what do you mean they're afraid that if you're gonna be makel in terms of surah labayla, you'll be makel in other areas too, and even other areas within the same woman, you'll be makel on her garments on the dam nida. You follow? Not just you'll be makel in general with a real re'ir, but you'll be makel with regards to tumah v'tara, right? So therefore, the Chachamim said, "Oh, we're going to be mitame her also, even though there's no chashash of our gosha whatsoever, okay? They made a nidrabanan to avoid this confusion. Because since the dam is tame, so now we're going to say the dam's tame, but she herself is tame. A little funny. So she's going to be tame also. A drabanan. That's the reason behind that that shita, that explanation. So if that's the case, okay, again, if you hold that the din of ksamim is a din of dilma argash of alava daite, so then it makes no difference. In other words, there's always going to be that chashash. There's always going to be that chashash, right? But if you hold like the other shita, okay, that the whole reason was because of this, you know, you don't want to be making on other areas, all right? So then you could argue that it doesn't apply today. That could be the answer to the Rif's shita. You follow? Then you could argue it doesn't apply today because the whole reason was a gzera that otherwise it's going to look funny because we're going to say that she's a mutaris labila, but that stain of dam is going to be tame. That's weird. So therefore they say she's a sur labila. But that's not true nowadays. You follow? That's not true nowadays. That, you hear what I'm saying? I'm just answering a possible answer of the Shit Harif, okay, and the Eshkol, who hold them, maybe, again, we reject it. But that may be the surah, okay? We don't pask in this way because, you know, he says it's Dover Sheba Minyan. You know, that's in the rest of the product, some sort of, I didn't really quote, but I think it's an interesting, you know, the Lamdash analysis, okay? It goes back to, again, what the Isser of Ksamim was. If the Isser of Ksamim is because of Xera, maybe she had a Hargosha and didn't realize it. Okay, so that applies Bisman Hazeh also, the same. There's no relaxation of that Isser Bisman Hazeh. And therefore, then you can argue the rules should be the same, you know, Bisman Hazeh also, even though we don't have bugs around and so on and so forth. But if you hold that that's not the, you could, you know, if you hold that that's not why some were created. Some were created is to prevent other kulas in Hilchas Dam that relate to Tumah Tahara. They don't apply today. So the whole thing's not applicable. I'm just saying it's a possible way of looking at it. All right.
Yeah. Comes out depending on your lumdus, you could either be super makeup by Ksamtei, or you could be super machmir.
Right, and that's the point. So then you can say, well, that's the point. Then you can say that a kestem, which is pachas kegris, it's totally irrelevant bisman hazeh. Okay, because in other words, you have that even if you could say because kacham ruhemam, there were goes their ksamim, and they weren't goes there anything beyond that. Okay, or you could say no. You could say that it has to be that, you know, you can really, you know, there has to be a reasonable possibility that there was a bug there that you really did something. But bisman hazeh, even with that, you can be makel even in a far fetched possibility because the whole thing is weaker today. You know what I'm saying? Some sofer is saying that that's a possibility. In other words, basically, according to one approach, we're only keeping this din nowadays to pretend that the gzera still applies, even though it doesn't really apply, because it's not. We're keeping the old gzera, Dover Sheba Minyan. Okay, but once a Dover Sheba Minyan, we're not going to make it stricter than it was then. You follow what I'm saying? In other words,
for you rationalist Jews, here's a
okay. But that's the point. If you're saying okay, but you know, look, we don't like to change things, right? Chodesh Hashmona Torah. So therefore, we're gonna say. The whole gzera, the principle of the Rif and the Eshkol are right. We really shouldn't have the whole din of ksamim today in Gantz. It shouldn't apply today. But we keep it. Okay. Once we keep it, we don't have to keep it more strictly than they did. You hear what I'm saying? And since they, true, we don't have the bugs, but we don't have ksamim either. Right, we don't have the reason for the gzera of ksamim either. We don't have tumah tahara either. So once we say that we're going to keep the laws because they kept it, so we don't have to keep it in any stricter fashion. They kept it, and since they were makel, because they taka had these bugs around, so we'll be makel on those things too, even though we don't have the bugs around. You follow? You hear the lumdus? So it's really the
Rabbi's saying over Lomdus, I'm assuming it's from the Rav, but
yeah, right. Okay, but yesterday we had some Sidri Tar, so some so, I think it's an interesting approach. No, I think others say it also. I think it was one of my modern Swarm. I forget. Maybe they're called the Chassam. I don't remember. But it was. You know, I just, in other words, there's basically two reasons to be Makel, either because again, the kash is, why can we make it? We don't have these bugs today. So reason number one is, okay, but it's as if the chacham were gozer, that if it's bigger than that size, it's not called a keser, and that's it. We don't have the bugs. Irrelevant. They would never gozer on something bigger than size X, and that's all there is to it. Or you could say no. Or you could say, we shouldn't really apply today. But we're mitzaref the fact that the whole Xeruk Samim shouldn't really apply today, okay, because we don't have Tum and Tara today. And the whole reason behind the Xeruk was you shouldn't come to Mekel Nichols Tum and Tara, which is irrelevant today because we'll Tummy today anyway. We don't have those dinim. So the only reason we keep the law, like the Chassam Sofer said, that he said before, is here in 21. It's a Dover Shem Minyan and Tzorach Minachal Atiro. So I don't have to be more Mekel, you know. Again, I don't want to go into it now, but there are things like with Yom Tov Sheni. You know, we today, we know what day Yom Tov. We keep Yom Tov Sheni. But we don't have to be stricter. That's what someone on Tanya. We don't have to be stricter than they were about Yom Tov Sheni. It has to do with, you know, with Erev Tavshilin. Remember that? By Erev Tavshilin. Let's say I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov. The 3-day Yom Tov, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, right? So now, can I make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday? I should be able to make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, I'll have tonight. Okay? First of all, maybe... Really, Yom Tov is just Friday, so today's Erev Yom Tov. I make an Erev Tov Shilin. And if today's Taka Yom Tov, then I don't really need the Erev Tov Shilin because tomorrow's the weekday, right? Tomorrow is Friday, so I can cook anyway. So that's a question we can make that tonight or not. It's like Ram and the Rabbit, whatever. We can make that tonight or not. But the point is, we don't have to be stricter than they were if we're only keeping Yom Tov Sheni because. And they were able to do that, so then why shouldn't we be able to do it? Anyway, there are other examples like that. So let me just mention a couple of things. I thought we'd get a little further. But just in terms of the shear, okay, in terms of the shear, what good. So the Gemara says a gris. These were things that they knew about, right? The beans and adoshim and hairs and so on. So that's just a look through. We'll spend a few more minutes on some of these sources. I really hope to finish this today, but all right. The shear of a gris. So there's a Mishnah in the Goyim, Paragvav Mishalef 23. Okay. Gufa shel baharis kegris. Talking there about the tzaras and so on. The gris, hakalkali meruba. It's a squared off shape and so on. Okay. A mokam gris teisha adoshos. Adoshos arba saras. Nimsu shloshim shesh saras. That's what we saw before. And that's from a very short Mishnah in the Goyim, Paragvav Mishalef. The Rashba brings us lalocha by Zion Shardala, the Bayis Orach, Kamashu Shagris, Tesha Adosha, Shane Shalos, or Shalos, fine. Okay, and it's a place of Tesha Adoshas. When it says hairs, okay, so then the Chronosha question, Piskachuva discussed it here in our Simon, Kuf Tzadi Sikot Nidal, of hairs on the body or hairs on the head. What's a chilik? Hairs on the body are much closer together, generally speaking, than hairs on the head. Okay, so Piskachuva, it's Sim Kuf Tzadi Sikot Nidal, Gufo Shalodom, Gufo Shalodom. He quotes the Chuvah, Shekosak Hono Shar L'Sha'er B'Sar Shemaguf V'lo B'Sar Shemarosh. Okay? Again, the Saras Rosh are closer together, so well, that's a question of what it means here. 36 Saras, and what size? Aruch HaShulchan chips in on this subject. Simon Kuv Tzadi Sifchav Gimel. Okay? And our Simon Sifchav Gimel. He says it means Saras Muruchakim Tzadzem is that Kemoshim Omni Magufa Shal Adam. Okay? V'Yoroi Lidah Kavanah Sar, but he thinks it's the Saras Shal Rosh. Okay? And there is some space in the head also between hairs by definition, but it's a smaller space because in a rose. You look at hair on your arms, and it's not like the hair, the what do you call them, follicles? Hair follicles are much closer together in the head than they are in the body. Okay, that's that machlokas. The exact size of some sofer in a different shuvah, yeredesim kuf nun. He passed in like we said, it's got to be bigger than a gris. And he quotes the sefer Mil Tzedakah, who went through in great detail and figured out exactly what the size is. Okay, that's the that's the measurement. The Mil Tzedakah comes up with about what's the equivalent of 20 millimeters. Okay, 20 millimeters. Take a look in 28 and 29. So I'm just going to fill in the blanks for you now again. And maybe if you have someone to send it out. Rabbi Adi Yosef in the Taras Habayis, page Shin Samach Zion. That's Chelik Aleph Simchas Os Beis. And he writes, I'll read it inside for you now. Kishagazu chachamim ala kesem lo gazu am kengesh poshir kagwis vaod. She shir tesha adoshim, shalosh al shalosh adoshim. The chol's man shainbo kashira ze anutolan lomar dam kinahu. It's my bug. Bafalpi shalaharga kina. Fine, we saw that. Bafila babayis noki. Even we have a very clean house nowadays. Shain kina matir sham kal yesh lahaka. We saw that already. Good. Bekosu achronim, sheyesh lahaka ad kashir esrim millimeter. Okay, to 20 millimeters. That's the size. V'chein ikar. In yesh bo yosim shiranal bein shach kesem ogul o moshach o meruba tmeya. Doesn't matter the shape. Okay, you won't be able to see it here. I have a chart, but it won't come out. I'm going to bring it in. Blina, they'll bring it into yeshiva. You heard of Machon Pua? They deal with infertility and so on. So the Rabbi Borstein from there, I have a chart, which is shiure grist, all kinds of different shapes. Blina, I'll try to remember. Not sure when I'll be back in the Shiva, probably Monday. I'll bring this in. You can just see it, you know, for the size. In the footnote, and it's called Mishmeres Atara there in Oz Beis at the end, page Shin Pei to Shin Samach to Shin Ayin, Shin Ayin Aleph. Okay. He writes, Vehine Ashir Shalom Il Tzdoke is Koter circumference of 20 millimeters. Circumference of Koter's circumference. That's what Vadya say for it. So you look it up in the Mishmeres Satara, Oz Beis, if you're interested in all the details, 20 millimeters. And he says that's what also comes out in the Shulchan Aruch Agon of Zalman. That's the Balatanya, you know, Shulchan Harav, Sim Kuvtzadi Sivchov Beis. Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah and his Shire Torah, he has that it comes out, the Grisso Ode is 21 millimeters. Just for reference purposes, since we in America are not in the metric system, you know, let's talk about it, but we're not in the metric system. So a U.S. nickel is a circumference of 21.21 millimeters. Okay, so that's the size of a nickel. All right. Other shitas, he quotes, it's a coat there, the circumference is 18 millimeters. Okay. Again, for reference purposes, a penny is 19.05 millimeters, and that's what some quote. Okay, the Gaon of Yitzchak Dov Bamberger, Zelman Bear Bamberger from Germany, he says a shear of tishasar millimeter, 19 millimeters, which is again about the size of a U.S. penny. And there's a Chumra, another sefer that he quotes, Machshavos, I'm not sure the name of the sefer, Machshavos, I'm not sure the sefer, right, the sefer Kedarka quotes many from, we don't know. Anyway, he says a shear of arbasar millimeter, which is very small, a dime is 17 millimeters. Okay, and he says the general, some sefer, the general hora is 19. And that's what he says. He says, that's what some sofer says, and ain lozus midvarav, and therefore I assume it's always around 20 millimeters. Even the Chazanish was in one place says 15. The Ramosha Feinstein in the Igros Moshe, Chela Gimel Simon Nun Vav, source 30. So 28 and 29 is the Taras Abayis text and the Mishmeres Atar on the bottom. So you can get the pages. Page Shin Samach Zayin is where it starts, and the part that I quoted at the end is page, the very end, Shin Ayin to Shin Ayin Aleph. Okay. Anyway, the Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Chela Gimel Simon Nun Vav, Yeridea, obviously Chela Gimel Simon Nun Vav, Oz Beis, Ushelz Var Isha, and so on and so forth. He says, "What's the shir? Toloi, the second line, Toloi b'miyesh bo shir kagris shehu kein penny." Okay, Matbea Shel cent, a 1 cent coin, a penny. Okay, Shalatzos Sabris. So that's what Rav Moshe assumes it's the size of a penny. Yeah. And the last thing I'd like to look at for today. The last thing I'd like to look at for today very quickly, and we'll finish this tomorrow and go on to the next one. Further details, I guess, really could have been one big share, but I split it up. Anyway, the question is, what about, what if it's not round? Okay, we're talking here about circumference, this is millimeters and so on. So, the Gemara says on Daf Nun Tesav Aleph 31, Toshma Kesem Aruch Mitzdar. It could be long and narrow, right? That's what I'll show you these pictures. But it could be long and narrow. So if it's long and narrow and it's contiguous, then it's Mitzdarif to the size of the gris, even though it's not the shape of the bean. It's not round, okay? But it add up all the space, all the length of the whole Kesem, then that's a problem. But he says, Tipin ain't Mitzdarfin. But if it's droplets and there's space in between, then they're not mitzvah. Again, that's also a very important point, halacha lemaisa, because kesem aruch, that is mitzvah, but separate stains, so to speak, are not mitzvah. The rive in the balei nefesh, okay, Rashi says kesem aruch mitzvah means like a gris v'od, Rashi says, right, the size of gris. So the rive in, sharak, someone simon gimel, 33. It's fine, and so on and so forth. So the rabbi has a kula. If you don't have, the gris has to be in the same place. Can't be a little spot here, a little spot there, a little spot over here, a little spot over there. Those don't connect unless they're connected. And that's the important point. Okay, the only time we have a concern is as long as there isn't one tipa that has more than a gris, it's not a problem. Okay, you can be makel if you find, a dead bug. That's something else, by the way. Okay, we'll come to something else. Okay, look at the second part of the Rabbi. That'll lead us into what I want to finish on Sunday. I'm just going to finish. I just want to finish. So the first thing the Rabbi says is based on that Gemara. Okay, that you're not mitzarev if it's tipin, individual droplets. They have to be connected. Again, it's very important, halacha lemaisa, because sometimes you get a bedika cloth or underwear. They have definitely spots that are red, but they're not connected. Okay, and a bedika cloth doesn't matter because it's even a tiny drop. But if it's a kesem, you know, underwear or other things that they're shown, so you have to look and see is the size of a gris. Okay, the size of a gris means in one spot, not with white in between. Sometimes you have a different issue. Sometimes the lining of the underwear interrupts, so it doesn't look like one spot. You have to look very carefully to see whether it's one spot or not. The second thing the Ravid says, though, in the second part of 33, well, in Simon Gimel of Sharak Samim, the Hodam Rikris Rod and Ola, Hanim Shalom Ninsam Achos with Sufa Bosavahot. Okay, if you have a blood spot and there's a dead bug there, okay, so that's a different story. Then Tola, feel be also make a gris. It's an important point. That's a pluk of Yana, which shall soap maple. From that, that's a different machlokas. Okay. So hold that thought in the back of your head. I only printed it there because it's there. But we're going to come back to that Mezzah Shem on Sunday. Just a couple other quick things. The Ramban. Nichos Nida Perigdal, Oz Gimel, Nizdaman la gris goro, Mikan Misharis Bosh, Shir gris silk summon la hokel. Okay. We'll see about that. I mean, that's that. But kesem aruch mitzavach gris nimsa tipen like that in mitzavach. Same thing, okay. There's also the Rashbo writes if it's bigger than a gris, and it's damen gris gadol, okay. So then there's room to be makel. He says that also. So that's we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll elaborate on this next time, okay. Sim Kuf Tzadi Sif Hey 36. We'll finish with this. Aval ki sheyesh ba kaze ashir ain talan bikina. But this is still Bain imi meruba o imu arok. That's really what I wanted to bring out here. It doesn't matter the shape. Okay. But mizdaman la gris yose goro mizashir misharin bo. Okay. If you have a bigger gris, you can mishar. We'll have to see a greater detail what that means, Bez Hashem, on Sunday. We'll finish these sources hopefully reasonably quickly. We'll go on to the next packet. Okay. We're just talking about where the stains were found and so on. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I wish everybody, somebody said it's hard to wish everybody a happy Tu B'Shvat because, Yantar. I guess it was Yantar because it was Tachanun, so that people are happy about that, I suppose, especially on Thursday. But just want to say just one mamish a minute, drush for Tu B'Shvat. Okay, you look at the trees on Tu B'Shvat, even in Eretz Yisrael, they're pretty bare. Okay, the Tu B'Shvat, the trees are certainly here. I mean, in Yiddish folklore, I don't know if you know, there's Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, So in Yiddish poetry, they write that in Europe, you had the trees were covered with snow, at this time of year, right? So that's Rosh Hashanah Leilanos. The snow was like the kittel and the talus. The trees are wrapped up in the talisim and the kittels, davening Rosh Hashanah Leilanos. But that's just the imagery, But practically speaking, I think it may well be true that Tu B'Shvat is a holiday quarrel. And I mentioned, I think, the other day that Tu B'Shvat was for those who wanted to connect to Eretz Yisrael in the Chutz La'aretz before they had the place to go in Yom HaTzmut and other things like that. But people wanted to connect, so they ate fruit from Eretz Yisrael. But also, it's a holiday, I think, of optimism. Meaning you have the tree, the sapling. Again, really, I told you the other day, it's just a halachic cutoff date. When you look at a tree on Tu B'Shvat, you know that this tree is going to eventually blossom. It's going to be green. Look outside your window now. Here in the United States, all the trees are bare. But you know full well the trees are going to have leaves. So Tu B'Shvat points you to the future. Tu B'Shvat points to, shall we say, optimism. The things may be bleak and bare right now, but, the tree's been through a lot. The one little seed has been through a lot. So now we can be positive, and then it's a good message in general. Okay, very good. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And Mitzvah Shem on Sunday probably will also be on Zoom Sunday. Let's assume that for the moment because I think the building's still going to be closed. Okay, have a wonderful day. Good Shabbos.
Thanks, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.
We're having shir tomorrow on